don't know about you, but a lot of times when I think about fire and I think about my life, it isn't always where I want it to be. It isn't always where I think it should be. So I started researching this lesson, and I was looking at passages on fire and lighting my fire. And as I was looking at them, most of them I found were talking about God's judgment. And I'm like, no, I don't want God's judgment. I don't want to look at God's judgment. That's not the direction I wanted to go. This lesson is really about how to keep your fire going. Most of us have built a fire at some point in time in our life. Anybody who knows me well knows I'm a pyro. I love fire. I love creating fire. I love keeping big old blazing fires going. And so when we start to look at a fire, there's a key thing that a fire needs, and it needs to be fed. Most of us have our fire started. But what are we going to do to keep it going? And so if I start a fire, if I don't feed it, it's going out. And so the two things that a real fire needs are oxygen and fuel. So what we're going to talk about first is how do we feed our fire. Philippians 4, 1 through 8 talks about focus, and I can't stand back here. And to me, these are the whatever passages. When I think about these are kind of what, when I get in a spot where I'm like, the best way to describe it is kind of sinking thinking. Something's getting in my way. I got to think about whatever. So Philippians 4, 1 through 8 says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. In this way, dear friends, and I'm going to skip over names because I'm not going to slaughter them. I plead with Eudia, and I plead with, we're going to call her Sarah, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. In my life, there have been many different seasons, and I think as you go through seasons, what your fire needs is different. But the most important thing that you think about is it always needs fed. And depending on what you focus on is what is going to keep your fire going up, or it's going to pull your fire down. In the same way that if I put my lovely blankets that aren't flammable in a fire, it's going to suffocate it. And we're going to talk more about suffocating a fire in a minute. So think about your thinking. What are you putting in? So Matthew 6:45, Matthew 12:34, and Proverbs 4:23. And I'm gonna read them, so I'm gonna come back to them, so don't feel like you have to frantically write them down. Okay, the first one is Luke 6:45. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings out evil things that are stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. We had a lovely what I call come to Jesus meeting in my family not too long ago. And I don't know if you've ever had these with your family or with your friends. You ever said something and you're like, I'm just kidding, I don't really mean it. The Bible says what comes out of my mouth is what is truly in my heart. And it can be a wake-up call, and it should be a wake-up call. When we hear things coming out of our mouth, those are the things that are in our heart, and those are the things we have to take to God. If I want my fire to burn, I have to truly examine what is deep in my heart. So the words that are coming out are a reflection on what's inside. Matthew 12:34. Sorry. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. We have to look at our heart. above Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Those three verses are truly important because I have to examine my fire. I have to examine what's in my heart, what's getting in the way of my growth, what's getting in the way of my fire burning. What we put into our life is what will come out of it, whether it's the thoughts in my mind, whether it's the actions, whether it's what's deep inside that I really don't want to admit. Those are the things we really have to examine. The next thing about a fire is we have to build the foundation. And maybe I'm doing a little backwards, because most of us, when you start the fire is when you build the foundation. But you get that spark, and what you put on next really does truly matter. If I get out the big logs and I start piling them on top and don't start with little kindling, it's going out. And a lot of times, well, let's start with 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid by Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will still be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. When I look at this, there have been times in my life when I have self-propelled myself through life. I have pushed and I have grunted and I have been the person I know God wants me to be because this is who I'm supposed to be. And it says, when I look at that, it says, if anyone builds a foundation on gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, straw. Okay, we just ran the gambit. We've went from the really precious, cool stuff that we would all really like to really easily obtainable stuff. But the foundation is built on stuff, either stuff that I'm trying to attain or stuff that I'm trying to be. And it says that our foundation has to be on Christ Jesus. If we're building our fire on Christ Jesus, then it will stand. It says that in the end, that we may suffer loss, but it will stand the test of time. There have been times when my energy runs out. My excitement runs out. My abilities run out. My friends run out. My confidence runs out. My Jesus doesn't. And that's where it comes to those seasons, because it's about Jesus. And when I build my fire on anything else, it will smolder to nothing. And so when it's built on Him, it's going to flicker. It's going to, because there are so seasons of life that make points in time harder. But it has to be based on Jesus. When it's based on relationships, when it's based on other things, it's not sustainable. In the same way that I can get a fire going and I can have a flash fire. We had this really cool science guy come to school and he's throwing fire in the air and the kids are like, woo, woo. And the reason he's able to do it is because it's flash paper. And there's this huge, big flash of light and fire and ooh and ah. And a lot of times, guys, we want to be those ooh and ah people. We really do. We want to have this fire that is so visible and out there, and this people look at it and they're like, whoa! But sometimes it's not really built on God. It's built on the silver and the gold and the stones and my popularity and my friends and my... And those things fade. They do. And so it has to come back to a true foundation in Jesus Christ. And in order to have that, it comes down to prayer in the Bible. And so when we look at Mark 14:32-38, we have an amazing example from Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. And since I've been reading a lot of passages, I'm going to paraphrase this and let you read it later. It is Mark 14, 32 through 38. Jesus is facing a very, very difficult in his time, in his life, in his ministry. He's about to face the biggest conflict, difficulty that he's about to face. And so he shows us how to do it. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he takes people with him, people that he knows will pray, that he's taking godly influences to pray. So verse 32 says, "And Jesus said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' And he took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death,' he said to them. 'Stay here and keep watch.'" He took godly people with him. He didn't take people who were going to tell him what he wanted to hear. He didn't take people that were going to cheer him on and yay and throw a party. He took people that would sit watch. And in our lives, if we want our fire to go, we need to have people in our lives that are strong spiritually, that can point out what we need, the wood we need, the things we need to put in our fire so that it burns. He went on, and he went on to pray, and he prayed, and he said, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." He got real with God. When you want your fire to burn, you got to get real with God. There have been times in my life when I've come to the end of myself, and I'm trying to figure it out, and I'm like, God, what's going on? Whether it's medical things. I have some random food allergy, and they can't figure out what it is. So every time I eat, it's a little bit like spinning a Russian roulette gun. And so people are always like, "We're having a buffet at work, and we're going to have it." I'm like, oh, yay. Even at things like this, I'm going to look at it, and things that should be fun, I'm like, eating is not fun. I have Barrett's, which is a precancer esophageal thing. So not only do I have issues with the food, also sometimes with swallowing the food. So it's like eating is not fun. Things that we take joyful, and I'm like, God, I don't get it. I went through a time at work when I didn't really change what I was doing, but we had a new principal and we had a new things going on, and I'm like, God, what's going on? Because I can't seem to do anything right. I'm trying to be supportive. I'm trying to be helpful. And I just keep getting knocked down. And I'm like, God, what in the world? And I sat with Chris and Alan, and we had a really interesting conversation. And they said, maybe it's not about you. Really? Because, you know, I'm so focused on wanting to be who God wants me to be. That's my prayer. God, I want to represent you at work. God, I want to show people you. I fail. I fail a lot. I think I stink at it more than I'm better at it, quite honestly. But that's my desire. And my fire comes from desire. We're going to fall down. We're going to screw up. And so that was a new thought for me, was that it may be more about them. Sorry. Am I going to? Okay, it may be more about them than it is about me. It may be something God is working on in them. And I'm like, I don't like that. It's easier when it's me and I can look at me. The fire, I know what to put in it. I can pray harder. I can talk to people. I can. And if you want to build your fire, if you've got this fire and you want it to blaze, or you've got this fire and you're like, it used to blaze, why doesn't it look like that anymore? I have to come out of it. I have to get out of it. And the other side is, sometimes I got to ride it out. And my fire now does not look like my fire did 10 years ago. And that's not all a bad thing. A lot of times for me, I look and I'm like, I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing this, and I want to base my fire on what it looks like. it's got to be about Jesus Christ. It's not about gold. It's not about stones. It's not even about the hay. It's about where Jesus is in the center of my life. So Jesus took people with him. By the way, his friends failed him. They did. They went to sleep. If he had based what he was going on the people around him, he would have given up. You and I, okay, let me talk for me. Take my friends. I'm like, oh my gosh, I am in so much sorrow to the point I'm going to lose my mind. My favorite phrase is I'm going to lose my ever-livid mind. But, please pray with me. Please talk to me. And I look over and they're sleeping. What? He knew. Jesus knew it was about him and God. You want your fire to go. As much as we love people and we need people, it has to be about your relationship with God. So as we look at those passages, the things I want us to take from it is we need to admit we need help and we are weak. It's okay. That's how God designed us, to need help and to be weak. We need to pray alone and with others. And we need to understand when people fail us, because we will fail each other. And it has to be about God, not about us. Philippians 1, 9 through 11 talks about growing a fire. It says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God." You want to grow a fire? Put God in it. And love. Love the people that are difficult. Love the people. Some of the closest friends in my life right now were not the easiest people to love when I first met them. We didn't mesh. We didn't have a lot in common. Melissa and I probably are pretty close. And when we first started working together, we didn't exactly hit exactly, did we? But God has a way of using us and connecting us in ways that go beyond us when we're loving. And so if you want your fire to grow, you've got to love. You've got to love God and you've got to love people, whether it's his people or other people. That scripture was Hebrews 12, 14 through 15. Oh, you know what? No, it wasn't. That would have been Philippians 1, 9 through 11, because I skipped a point. I skipped a point. So, yes, that's Philippians. I did skip a point, which is actually incredibly important. And so Philippians 1, 9 through 11. So we've got to feed it love, and we've got to have God's insight. Let me back up a minute about people failing us. I have some choices when people fail me. And I think I've done most of them. I've been forgiving and let it go. A little like Elsa. Okay, sorry. We went through an Elsa phrase. Yeah. We went through an Elsa phase at my house, so let it go. There's been other times that I've just let it smolder. I've just gone, oh, no, I shouldn't feel this way. I know I'm hurt. I know I'm anger. And as I'm not dealing with it because I'm trying to push it down, it gets into Hebrews 12, 14 through 15. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. People will let us down. People will let us down. And what we do with that will determine where our fire goes. When you feed a fire bitterness, you're not feeding God's fire, you're feeding Satan. And so your godly spiritual fire is getting stomped. 2 Timothy 1, 5 through 9 says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded lives in you now also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to be a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. As you look at this verse, I want my fire to burn. I want my fire to move. And God gives us a fire that's full of power, love, and self-discipline. I don't like self-discipline, but it's important because it's what brings us closer to God. In this verse, Paul's talking about that he's suffering. Your fire is going to burn brighter when you are moving through the suffering, trusting on God. There will be difficult times. And it's not because of anything we do. And sometimes, ladies, we're women, and maybe it's just me, but I gauge how well I'm doing at anything by my actions, by what I accomplish. I got this done today, and my principal said this really cool thing about me. Oh, and I got a really neat note about from a parent. Let's not talk about the ones that aren't nice. because they have that opposite effect. Why? Because it's what I've done. It's who I feel I am is based on what I do versus on his purpose and his grace. When we are looking at what God's purpose in our life is, it may not be to be teacher of the year. It may not be to be mother of the year. It may not be to be wife of the year, friend of the year, any of the titles that we're looking for. It may be to follow God. Actually, it isn't just a maybe. It is to follow God and his purposes and his grace. So sincere faith. Sincere faith means I'm real. You get the good, the bad, the ugly. And sometimes there's more ugly than the other two. And I'm going to fan into flames what's there. And I got to tell you, there are mornings. That would be my daughter back there who just laughed. There are mornings around our house, since you laughed, when showing people Jesus is the hardest thing I can do all day. Between nobody wanting to get up, between not wanting to get up, between what am I going to face today, between my body is not cooperating with me today, and I'm sure that, you know, too, if these children say one more word to each other, then Jesus, you better come now. And don't even give me that look, because I'm not going there. I laughed this week because I had a six-year-old, I teach six-year-olds, look at me as I told her to do what the expectation is and has been all year. You get on my nerves! I'm like, what? I said, oh, honey, come here. I showed her Jesus. Now, Jesus had some very strong words to say to her about respect and what you do with authority. But I did show her Jesus. And there are other times when we don't show people Jesus. And as we look at it, we have to have a sincere faith. So what overflows out of my mouth in those situations is Jesus. Because if Jesus isn't what's inside, what comes out when that's there is me. And that's not pretty. So I need to make sure with my fire, as I'm trying to build my fire and I'm trying to fan my fire, I go back to those whatever passages, whatever is good, whatever is faithful, whatever is pure, I'm putting into my life. Because if you've ever heard a six-year-old sing a rap song, or finish the phrase, what the? And you're going, whoa, why does that come out of a six-year-old's mouth? Because it's what they hear. What comes out of our mouths, what comes out of our fire, is what we're putting into our fire. And so it doesn't, everybody's fire is not going to be like this. Like this speaker that was all sorts of colorful, pretty. I know some of us were watching it and others were like, okay, no, that's going to mess with me. It's a consistent flame. The last passage I have for you is 1 Thessalonians 5:12 through 23. They're Paul's final instructions, so they're going to be my final instructions too. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened. You know he's only crying because he wants me, right?
Yeah, he wants you.
All right, bring him to me. He just wants to move, so he might as well come up here and move with me. See? You ready? Are you ready? Can you help me finish?
He wants to teach us too.
Absolutely. All right, here we go. Now, you don't get the paper, though. I'm going to start back over. Sorry, teacher thing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Continue praying. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, we ready? Want to tell them final instructions? Okay. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. God started it. And there will be times in your life that it blazes bright and strong. And there will be times in your life that it keeps your toes warm, but you're not sure it's really much better than that. And that's when you feed it. You are responsible for your fire. As much as we want to blame or ask and give it to somebody else, there are times I want to go, help me. That's all it can be is help. No one else can do it for you. Notice the things that put out the fire in this verse. Yeah, you're going to tell them? We need to live at peace. We need to warn each other if we're idle and disruptive. Being disheartened. And it says to encourage the disheartened. Encouragement from one another is going to help that. Be real about being disheartened. Because sometimes, guys, it's real. And it's an okay place to be. God worked in the lives of people that were disheartened. It says to really look at and test things in our lives. Sometimes things sound good, but they're not from God. Sometimes it's the way I've always done it. It works for me, but it's not godly. Sometimes I just want it to be over, but it doesn't please God. You see the lights, don't you? May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to encourage each other. And we need to challenge each other. when there are things in someone's life that we see, it will stifle your fire if you don't lovingly, let me say that again, lovingly talk to someone about what's going on in their life. And we have to be willing to let others speak lovingly into our lives. He says we're done. And we are almost done. I just want to encourage you with that Philippians passage that we started with. Choose the things wisely that you put into your life. When you're choosing movies, when you're choosing attitudes, when you're choosing, look at those whatever passages and allow them to guide you. I can tell you when I don't, it's a struggle. When I do, it's easier. It's not easy. This week, I got one of those lovely notes. Actually, it was a text message / dojo message from a parent that it's challenging and doesn't always see things accurately. And she got under my skin. Didn't help that it came through at 9:45 at night either. She did not read those things. But she got under my skin because I have worked very hard to help her child, to love her child. She's a very difficult child to love. She's actually a very mean child. And so I was ripped, and all because I wanted to make sure she knew her child was complaining about a stomach ache and wasn't working because it hurt so bad. Kathy? I had Kathy read it. I'm like, I have a group of ladies that I meet with, and I said, pray for me today. I have a parent who's under my skin and a child that's a challenge. And I need help. I can't get it out of my head. It's owning me. The amazing thing happened. God is good. Because she wasn't under my skin anymore. Talked to a very spiritual lady at work, and she's like, oh, Kim, you know her. She's just going. And I'm like, I know, but it's so hard. And she's like, I know. When you're going through difficult situations, bring in support. Ask for the support. And if they fail you, it's okay. Because God still hears your petition. Even if none of them would have prayed, even if none of them would have come back and made any type of anything, God heard my call. Your fire is yours. Your fire. And it doesn't have to look like this huge thing in actions. It comes back to Jesus. I wish I had my quiet time every stinking day. I should have a quiet time every stinking day. And I should pray all day long. All of these lovely situations, there are a lot of what I should do. The speaker is Miranda from Texas. Because it just shocked me. Thank you, Lord. But it comes back to God. If we want our flames to be large and igniting, and if we want to reignite them because we've been burned, because we've been hurt, because we're tired, because we're overwhelmed, it's going to be God. It's got to be God. It's got to be God. Taking it to Him and asking people to pray, but understanding that people will fail me. People will hurt me. People will leave me because they're people. People will judge me and always find me lacking. But God will not, because God knows what's on the inside. So when we are praying and we are in our word, our fire is going to burn, and our fire is going to burn bright. And it may not burn bright for anybody else to see. Because it's not about them. It's about you and God. It's about me and God. Let's pray for lunch. Dear God, God, I want to pray that you,
God, help us to really look at our lives, look at our hearts, and please you. God, we're a group of women that obviously want to learn about you because we're giving up a beautiful Saturday to be inside with no windows. God, you have the window to our soul. And God, I pray that you help us to truly look clearly inside, to feed that flame, to feed that fire with your word, by talking to you, by doing this journey with other people who love you but often fail us, to letting go of bitterness, to letting go of what my rights are, because God, sometimes I have every right to be angry. I have every right to be hurt. But you gave those up. And so God, help us to fan our flames by not holding on to our rights, but focusing on you and the example you set for us. God, thank you for the food that's been prepared for us. God, I pray that as we get to hang out and spend time together, God, that we'll be able to talk about the things we're learning and to grow our fire to great heights. In Jesus' name, amen.